Welcome to the Biohacking Superhuman Performance Podcast. My name is Natalie Nittam. I'm a nutritionist, a human potential and epigenetic coach, and I created this podcast to bring you the latest ways to take control of your health and longevity. We cover it all, from new technology to ancestral health practices, personalized interventions, and a very special interest of mine, peptides. Enjoy the show. Welcome back, guys. We're back for another episode, and today's is quite different than the last few. Today, I get to interview George Wiseman, who is the owner of a company called Eagle Research, and George is an inventor. And it just so happens that in inventing a machine that, for industrial purposes, I think it's some kind of a blowtorch of all things, George seems to have accidentally stumbled upon a process, then further developed it into a machine that has seemingly magical health benefits. This is not woo. I promise you, this is legit. This is a form of molecular hydrogen and something a little bit different, something called Brown's gas. And I had never heard of Brown's gas until I met George. And when I started talking to some of my contacts in the molecular hydrogen world about it, it turns out that they'd all heard of Brown's gas. The tricky thing about Brown's gas is delivering it to people in a way that is safe and effective. And George definitely seems to have done that. I have a machine in my house, and to date, everybody's safe and it's quite effective. And so what is Brown's gas and what's it going to do for you? Well, it turns out that Brown's gas might help you live longer. It could help you beat some pretty crazy chronic conditions. It could definitely be part of the solution. So in this episode, we talk about George, of course, his background, how he came to do what he does. And I will tell you that he is one of the most dedicated people to his cause that I've ever met. I mean, to be honest, almost everybody I host on this podcast is, but George comes from a very different place. And I think you'll really enjoy his story. And this Brown's gas machine is really quite something. So to dig into the research a little bit, once you've listened to the episode, if your curiosity or interest are piqued even further, you can go to eagle-research.life. That's George's website. And he's got a ton of the research studies listed there that you can dig into. And of course, George is one of these people that seems to be a little too available to anyone who reaches out to him, but he's that committed to helping people. So if you have any big questions, you can try and reach out to him as well. If you have any comments or questions about the podcast, then you know that you can reach out to me directly through my website, natnittam.com. And you can also find me either on Facebook or on MeWe in the Biohacking Superhuman Performance groups. So the name of the group is the same on both platforms. You know, I would tell you that we're probably transitioning over to MeWe over the next year or so because Facebook is becoming a little bit uncomfortable for those of us in the alternative health space. You may already know this, but I'm going to keep the Facebook group going for as long as I can. So I'll be there as well if that's your preferred platform. Remember that if you get value out of this episode and out of this show, please take a moment and leave us a review on whatever platform it is that you're consuming the show on, because that's what helps us to grow the show, get more audience, and frankly, get amazing guests. So thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to write a review. Let me know what you think. And if after you listen to the episode, you decide you simply have to get your hands on one of these machines, you can use promo code VITALITY, and that will get you a 10% discount. So without further ado, let's meet George and let's learn all about Brown's gas and the AquaCure. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Biohacking Superhuman Performance, where we explore all kinds of cool interventions for health, from peptides, epigenetics, nutrition. And what I really love, this is really a passion project for me because it means that I get to talk to some of the most interesting people about some of the most amazing health interventions that are out in the world these days. And today I am so excited and grateful to be talking to George Wiseman, the gentleman sitting to my left, unless we get flipped around. Anyway, George Wiseman is the founder of a company called Eagle Research.
And he is the inventor of the AquaCure, which is the device that we're going to talk about today, which is super cool, super amazing. And we'll talk about why that is in a minute. George has this amazing story. He started off as a rancher's son and living on a ranch, being a ranch manager, I gather from George, involves learning how to do pretty much everything, right? So George, having a head for science, is both self-taught and educated in a bunch of different trades, including automotive tech, and very proficient in electrician as an electrician, which we're going to understand pretty soon is was critical to where you are today, I'm sure, as a plumber, as a carpenter. So basically you can build and fix pretty much everything. So George, welcome. And thank you so much for agreeing to talk to me today.
It's a pleasure. Looks like you guys are having a lot of fun over there, and I just wanted to join the party.
Yeah. Well, it's a great group. I will say that. It's a really cool group and lots of people that are super curious about this kind of stuff. So let's start at the beginning. Let's talk about, tell me about Eagle Research. I don't think you started Eagle Research in the least about AquaCure, this beautiful device that you have. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your beginnings and how you got to sort of where you are today.
Oh my, how far back do I go? All right, so we start with before Eagle Research got started, I wanted to be, I was a rancher's son. I needed to make my own living out in the world. I decided I'd either be a prospector or an inventor, and it turned out inventor was the way it went. I developed a device that got 25% increase in fuel mileage in 75% of vehicles, carbureted vehicles back in those days. And it took only an hour to install and about $15 worth of parts and get a 25% increase in mileage. And that's what got my business started. Now I was in essentially the fuel saving business, combustion enhancement. And
so hold on just a sec. Is that device in, like, is it in my car?
No.
Because,
well, you have to ask the oil and the car companies about that.
Interesting.
In any case, I spent a lot of money and time figuring out how to get up to 10 times increase in fuel mileage. So you could go 200 miles plus per gallon of gas. And I had vehicles that were able to do that and what have you. Okay. So in any case, getting back to the Browns gas,
okay.
One of the
I have to have another episode about that business. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We can go on for days with all these various things that are happening. But with the Browns gas, since I was researching various fuel savers, I learned that Browns gas, which is a mixture of hydrogen and oxygen, essentially you're splitting water and you've got your hydrogen and oxygen, and you feed that into the intake manifold so that that mixture becomes part of the combustion process of the fuel and air. And you would get approximately 25% with this fuel, this combustion enhancement technique as well. You get about a 25% increase in fuel mileage. And there are people out there that are selling these devices. I sold thousands and thousands of them, but now I'm concentrating on the AquaCure, which we'll get to in just a minute. So we did really well with that. And then carburation system switched over to fuel injection and we modified our techniques for that. So you can still do that. In the big trucks, they're saving $10,000-$15,000 a year per truck in fuel economy because of this type of technology specifically. Now, the next thing I got into was the what I call water torches, where you could split water into hydrogen or oxygen, and then instead of acetylene coming out, you would have this mixture we call Brown's gas, and it would do everything an acetylene torch would do better. It was incredible, at 2% of the cost. The thing is, you had to buy a $3,000 machine instead of $300 set of bottles. And so over in China, because at that time, China was starting to do, or the Asian countries were starting to do a massive buildup. And they didn't have the infrastructure in place like we did in America. And they didn't have the oxygen bottles and acetylene and all that sort of setup. So they went directly to this Brown's gas technology. Mm. So they actually got a jump start over there. And they are far ahead of us in all these things that we're talking about, including the health aspects that we'll be talking about today. Over in Asia, they're way ahead of us. We're only just beginning to catch up over here.
Yeah.
Even
for molecular hydrogen, they're way ahead of just pure, which we'll talk about in a minute, even just pure yes. molecular hydrogen, they're definitely yes. ahead of us in that sense as well. Anyway, so exactly. carry on.
So what happened was my customers who had the water torches, some of them started to experiment with it for health purposes.
Why?
And I had no clue, no clue, no clue.
Like, it's a little bit like, why did the first guy rub the rock with the piece of, like, snap the two pieces of rock to make a spark? Like, what would make somebody do that?
Yeah. So yeah, why would you take this golden colored piece of pyrite and hit it against this flint? Like, what would cause you to do that? Anyway, this guy had a melanoma. One guy had in 1996, he had a melanoma on his forehead, and skin cancer is one of the worst you can have. And so he decided he would just soak, first of all, bubble the gas in water. So you get Brown's gas bubbled water. And then he would soak the cotton ball that he put in a plastic cap on it. And in 3 weeks' time, the melanoma was gone, completely gone.
Okay, so I've heard this story, which from other... So was he undergoing any other treatment? I have to ask. Was he undergoing any other treatment the time?
I don't know. Okay. And that's a good question. I don't know. But in any case, it was gone. And years later, only about 3 years ago now, that was actually duplicated in Germany. And they did no other treatment. This guy had severe, I have pictures. They had, in this case, it had severe psoriasis and skin cancer on the back of his head here.
Which is classic for men.
It was terrible, terrible, ugly. And in 3 weeks' time, it was virtually gone. You'd hardly tell that there was anything there.
So was that done with a doctor?
That one was done with doctors, yes.
Okay.
But this other, but the first one, the guy just did it himself, and I didn't believe him. Okay.
Healthy skepticism in this case is a good idea. Okay.
Well, you see, I'm an inventor. I'm supposed to look at the things that aren't on the shelf kind of thing and what have you. But taking a fuel gas that I knew to be combustible and using it for health purposes, it was almost like taking gasoline or diesel to heal yourself or something. I just didn't believe it. So
it
took me almost 10 years from 1996. And then what I did is I had thousands of customers. And so I said, hey, here's a potential aspect for this gas. And I actually even spoke about it in Australia at one of the conferences I spoke at and introduced the concept. And so people all over the world who had my machines already started experimenting with this gas. And even Tyler LeBaron, a doctor in the United States.
I know Tyler, yes.
Consulted with me back in the early 2000s about the hydrogen for health. And so all of that convinced me eventually to try it for myself. So I actually have a machine sitting here beside me that I usually use when I'm sitting at my computer. And I'm actually breathing the Brown's gas now. Whenever I'm sitting in one place, you could just put the hydrogen on and inhale it. There's no smell or when you're drinking the water, it doesn't taste like anything. It's just pure water. So in any case, So in any case, 2005, I started drinking the bubbled water, and and I've never been sick since. I've had a couple of days when I had sniffles or whatever, but it usually lasts just a few hours and it's gone. So it boosted my immune system almost immediately. I used to get sick like the flu 3 times in a winter, and that hasn't ever happened since.
Really?
So and actually the 2 times that I had sniffles for a day or a few hours were both times that I flew on an airplane to a different country, once to Mexico, once to Germany. And I didn't have my Brown's gas with me. So there were several days I wasn't inhaling and I caught whatever it was, and my immune system didn't catch it as quick as it normally does, I guess, or whatever. Anyway, so I was convinced then that it was healthful enough with all these customer reports. I have hundreds that were coming in.
So basically all those customers of yours were caused biohackers. You just didn't know it, because that's what biohackers do, right? They do crazy things that other people wouldn't do.
So my customers dragged me into the Brown's Gas for Health field. And then and then they started asking me, as they will, can we inhale the gas? Now here, I know the gas to be combustible and explosive. So I was drinking the water and I felt that was safe. And I told people, you can put it in a bag on your skin. You put your arm in a bag, like if you had arthritis or something like that. By the way, my arthritis is gone. And my neuropathies as well. I had this whole palm, I had lost the feeling, and on the fronts of my shins, I'd lost the feeling in my legs. And those all came back once I started to inhale. But we'll get to that in just a second. So pretty much the drinking of the water was good, and healthful, but my real gains didn't start until I started inhaling. But I didn't start inhaling until 2016, because people were always asking me, can we inhale the gas? And I was saying, no, I don't want anybody to have their lungs exploded or anything. Mm-hmm. And in December of 2015, one of my customers, this is all customer driven, biohackers, you it, arise. And we sent me a video from, I believe it was Korea. I saved the video, saying or showing me that people could go in and get a Brown's gas treatment just like this, just like we get a cup of coffee. They have a hydrogen bars, and you just walk in, pay a bit, sit down, have a treatment, and go off and do your business.
Okay, so one second. Yeah. So, but in Korea, I know like Korea is where a lot of the molecular hydrogen research really is. It's a very active area for them. And to your point, they have bars. So in Korea, they have hydrogen bars, though. They don't have gas brown bars, or do they have?
They have both.
Brown gas bars. Yeah,
the one that I'm speaking of was specifically Brown's gas, because it was made by an Epoch machine.
So let's do this. Can we define again, because I think you talked about it a bit at the beginning, but can we define again what is exactly Brown's gas and how is it different from just plain, because we have now molecular hydrogen inhaling machines. And we have tablets that we can put into water that will cause a reaction in the water and release hydrogen or cleave it off. I guess it's an exothermic reaction, so it must split water into its components, as it were. So can we just stop for 1 second and talk about what exactly is Brown's gas?
That's a very good question, and I have the answers on my website, so if people don't need to take notes. You can go and that. But in a synopsis is, Brown's gas is a mixture of gases, and you can actually, I can do a quick little screen share here too, I think.
Yep.
Okay, can you see that?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So what we have over here is a document on the right that mm-hmm. is that's done in Spain by a doctor, a medical facility, a hospital in Spain, and it's showing in this particular chart here oxygen reduction potential. And how the Brown's gas, this one here, shows that it does really good oxygen reduction potential when you're bubbling the gas in the water, much better than a molecular hydrogen machine. Now, the molecular hydrogen machine was doing 3,000 milliliters of gas per minute, and the Brown's gas machine was only doing 800 milliliters per minute. And yet, the Brown's gas outperformed for ORP significantly. We'll get back to that in a minute.
So it's a stronger antioxidant, right? Is that?
Oh, much, much stronger. So we'll get over to here. And what Brown's gas is, sorry, we'll look at this chart here.
Yeah.
Brown's gas has hydrogen, a lot of hydrogen. You can see it by this spike here. Hopefully people can see it in their screens.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of oxygen, okay? Mm-hmm. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. But in the middle here, it actually has something called electrically expanded water. So normally, molecular hydrogen is only this peak over here, does not have these other two gases. With the Brown's gas, you get this electrically expanded water. And that is the real key to the extra therapeutic value of the Brown's gas. The oxygen turns out to be about the same as if you're just breathing normal air, because the oxygen in the Brown's gas is about, so it'd be a hydrogen-oxygen mixture instead of a nitrogen-oxygen mixture like we normally breathe. Mm-hmm. So the oxygen really doesn't make a difference one way or the other. If anything, you could say it helps prevent hypoxia. If you were breathing too much straight hydrogen, for example, you'd be cutting out some of your oxygen, whereas the Brown's gas mixture pretty much makes up for that.
But okay.
So the big deal is right here, this middle thing called the electrically expanded water. Now, getting back here to this chart to here, we have a Brown's gas electrolyzer, and the big difference between hydrogen machines, pure hydrogen generation machines, H2, is there's no membrane in the Brown's gas machines. So over here, you have on the left, you have generating, I think I had the green being oxygen, doesn't really matter. And on the right, the plate, that would be the cathode, would be generating hydrogen, and the anode on the left would be generating oxygen. And right in the middle between the plates, is generating the electrically expanded water. So you have a gas coming right out of the middle of the cell. You have gas, hydrogen coming off this plate and oxygen coming off this plate, just like you would normally think. But right in the middle, you have another gas forming right out of the liquid. And that's the electrically expanded water. And I call it that. Yul Brown called it fluid crystal. Chris Ekman called it Ryberg crustlers. There's just a few names for this particular type of thing. But what happens is, it's actually not part of the electrolysis process. It's a side effect of the electrolysis process. And what's happening is the water is absorbing electrons, okay, until it becomes a gaseous form of water that is not water vapor or steam. This is the fourth state of matter of water, okay?
Okay.
So you have a solid, liquid, gas, and plasma.
That's plasma, George Pollack's work, right?
No. That was misnamed. His work is excellent, by the way. He and I are good acquaintances and what have you. But he named his book The Fourth State of Water. And unfortunately, it wasn't actually the fourth state of water because that would be a plasma. His EZ zone water is actually a gel. It's H3O2.
Okay.
So instead of H2O, it's H3O2. And it's actually like a gel-like substance. And actually, most of the water in our bodies is formed of this H3O2, the EZ zone. All our cells are filled with it. This gel, all our arteries and veins are lined with it. It's what helps the red blood cells elongate like this to go through the capillaries, because the capillaries are actually smaller than the red blood cell.
Right.
How are you going to get it stuffed in there? It actually comes down, looks like a sausage as it squeezes its way through the capillaries. But it couldn't do that if it didn't have that slipperiness of the EZ zone stuff. So.
Okay.
Getting back to the actual fourth state of matter, is a gaseous, electron-rich gaseous water, okay?
Yeah.
So we go back here to the chart that shows the water here, and this in the middle is actually water, but it's water in a gaseous form that is electron-rich. And those electrons are what cause, and we'll go back up here to the chart, the oxidation reduction potential. So what's happening is the electrons are what stop the oxidative cascade. They stop the bad radicals and what have you.
Free radicals,
Free radicals, because those are actually electron deficient.
Mm-hmm.
So then it comes down, and so it comes down to water, for example. We'll go back to water for a second. All these things, of course, I learned after my customers taught me that I needed to be looking for it, okay? So water can actually be dehydrating. When you go to drink the water, if it has a low, essentially a low electron count, which would be a positive ORP. So at zero and above, so the more positive you get, the less electrons it has. At zero and below, the more negative you get, the more electrons it has.
Hmm.
So if you actually drink positive ORP water, like you get from most tap water, my tap water is positive 400. If you drink that water, it actually absorbs electrons from your body. It absorbs the energy from your body to neutralize the water. Whereas the other way around, if you drink water that has a negative ORP, excess electrons, it actually gives energy to your body. And most people that are sick have two things going on with them. Number one, their energy generation systems have become compromised or overstressed. And number two, their energy reserves have become depleted.
Mm-hmm.
So their body doesn't have the energy to heal itself.
We're talking about mitochondrial dysfunction or underfunction or however you want to name it. But basically, mitochondria are compromised. And
ATP production, all that sort of thing. Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And your biohackers probably know even more about that than I do.
Yep.
So getting back to the health benefits of the hydrogen. Now, we'll just talk hydrogen for a second.
Okay.
Hydrogen is good. Hydrogen is excellent. If you have hydrogen, don't throw it away. All right. So 62% of your body is hydrogen by volume, not by weight. Hydrogen is a very light molecule, but by volume, 62%. Then 24% oxygen and 12% carbon. So you've got these, and then 2% everything else. By volume, you're only 2% everything else. So when they're talking about vitamins and minerals and all these kind of things, they're talking about the 2%. The 62% is your macronutrient that you need. Most people, and the next question is, where do you get your hydrogen? Because if you need it so much, people get it from their food. Unfortunately, it depends on your microbiome in your digestive system to break apart the food properly to break the hydrogens off from the hydrocarbons.
Yeah.
Okay. And most people have compromised or inefficient digestive system, so they're not getting the hydrogen that they need.
Yeah.
All right. And the hydrogen is actually mostly produced in the colon. The digestive process, as you know, starts in the mouth, mastication, saliva, enzymes, the digestive in the stomach, and then lower intestines. By the time it gets to the colon, the specialized bacteria that are most efficient at breaking off the hydrogen are supposed to be in the colon, but they get decimated by artificial sweeteners, glyphosate, all the stress, all the stuff. You got it. Oh, and antibiotics. Antibiotics for sure. were a huge boon and needed, certainly, yeah. But they just kill the bacteria, all the bacteria. Mm-hmm. And these particular bacteria don't grow back so easily. So most people mm-hmm. are hydrogen deficient. Now, our bodies are absolutely amazing at healing themselves. And yeah. people often understand that, I can tell your friend, she just loved it.
What's that?
I love speaking with you. I'm just saying that. All right. So people, for example, if you're getting hypothermic, the body will shut off blood flow to your extremities to preserve core temperature.
Prioritization.
That's an example of what's going on here. So the next thing that, so if you're hydrogen deficient, the body knows to shut down extraneous systems to prevent death. And the first thing that it shuts off is your regeneration system, which includes stem cells and things like that. The next thing it tends to shut off is the various immune systems. And then finally, it starts shutting off organs. They fail and you die. So as you start inhaling the hydrogen, your organs will come back in shape. And then your immune systems come back in shape. And then your regeneration systems come back in shape. So what happened with me, I had a heart murmur, for example. I had it all my life, 50 more years since I was diagnosed when I was a young lad. And when I started inhaling the gas, my heart murmur, it took about a year for all these things to happen that I'm going to tell you right now. My heart murmur's gone. It's no longer there. So my organs are healing. The next thing I noticed from back is my immune systems would go. So my warts disappeared, my skin warts and a planter's wart on my foot. And so viruses that I'd had all my life, my body immune systems got strong enough to get rid of those. And then my regeneration systems came back online. And I know that because my scars disappeared. So you're not going to see that with normal hydrogen inhalation. That tends to come with the Brown's gas inhalation because you get that extra energy, the bioavailable electrons that are going in there. So what happened was, I didn't expect any of this. I started inhaling the Brown's gas because I wanted to prove it was safe to all the people that I'd been telling not to do it in the past. Because what I discovered, what I finally realized when this customer sent me the video, is if you keep the hydrogen content in the inhaled breath less than 4%, and see, I knew this as a physicist and scientist and what have you, I knew that under 4%, the gas was not explosive. But I was always thinking the gas is 66% hydrogen, 67% hydrogen, 33% oxygen. And I knew that to be an explosive mixture. I didn't think that when you mix just a teeny amount of it in with the air that you inhale, that it's not an explosive mixture anymore.
Right.
So you got to keep it under that 4%.
So this is how the AccuCure is not a bomb in your house.
You got it. Got it exactly.
And, I'm on it.
And any of the hydrogen machines, actually. It's not just the AccuCure. It's any of the... You don't want to inhale hydrogen mixture that's more a mixture of air that's more than 4% hydrogen.
Okay.
So getting back to, and it's actually technically 4.7%, but I say 4% because I like to err on the safety.
Yeah. Because you know, from 4.7 to 5 is really little. From 4 to 4.7, a little bit more buffer. So it works for me.
I like to point out the accuracies because there are people that will say, okay, I don't believe him because I know it's 4.7%. So he doesn't know what he's talking about. Anyway, so there's these various...
First thing that popped into my head, I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you would have a very informed audience. So I'm toss in the not only safety, but why and that sort of thing.
Thank you.
So getting back to the... So this is where the differences between the hydrogen and the Brown's gas start to come in.
Okay.
The hydrogen is extremely healthful. You need the hydrogen. It's your major macronutrient. But again, people have compromised immune systems that or energy generation systems and that sort of thing. So the Brown's gas, what it does is add that electrically expanded water, those extra bioavailable electrons. And so that's the big difference between hydrogen and Brown's gas. So that answered that question. I know there's lots more.
Yeah, no, but that's fantastic. So I love that you refer to H2 as a macronutrient. And then Brown's gas is yet another one, right? That these are the macronutrients we never knew about.
Yeah, it's the next level. It has hydrogen, mm-hmm. but it also has this other. So I call it the next generation.
Yeah. So I guess one of the reasons why hydrogen is considered so safe, and Tyler LeBaron talks about this quite a lot, is that it's a weak electron donor, right? So I've often referred to hydrogen as a selective antioxidant in that it will address certain types of oxidative damage because some reactive oxygen species are necessary for us. Like we need that to stimulate healing, if you will, in the body. It's like, and you know, everybody runs around going, inflammation's bad. Well, yes, but you need some. So otherwise your body would never fix itself.
That's right. But then it has to stop. Once it's instigated, initiated the healing process, you have to stop that inflammation and what have you.
Exactly.
And I will point out that hydrogen itself is a weak electron donor because H has one electron going around and it's always looking for two electrons. So it tends to attach itself. Mm-hmm. But H2 is neutral. Okay. H2 is like a building block. It's actually doesn't do anything without energy. H2 already has a pair of electrons and they're locked into each other and they more or less ignore it. We're a pair. We don't care about you over there. You know,
we're good.
Over there. But the H by itself is looking for a mate and it will mate to another hydrogen or something else. And that's where you get the oxidative reduction with normal hydrogen, H2, when they split it into the H, single H. But
then you get the oxygen.
Expanded water.
Yeah.
It helps that because you not only have the building block of H2, which does all that stuff, but then you have the electrons that are on the electrically expanded water, and those are bioavailable. They'll go and get put to wherever they want without having to split apart the H2 to do it. So this makes it a lot easier. That's why the Brown's gas is more therapeutic and has better oxidative reduction potential, as you saw by that chart from Spain. Go ahead.
So for the Brown's gas, is it more, do you see it as more of a, like hydrogen, anybody can use it because even if they're relatively healthy, they don't, you know, like if you're working out, that kind of stuff, you want some of those ROS, not as many, that kind. So it's a little bit more modulatory, if you will, than therapeutic. With the Brown's gas, it seems to have a much stronger therapeutic effect. So would you say that someone who's got more health issues or who's older would get more benefit from Brown's gas than a younger person who's relatively healthy? Or, you know what I mean? Like, is there ever a thought that it might cross the line into too much of a good thing?
Okay, not.
The answer is no.
not too much of a good thing, unless you're inhaling more than the explosive limit. There is no limit to the gas. Okay?
Okay.
In fact, if you start inhaling more than the body needs, you actually exhale the excess, which is why there's really no toxic limit. So getting back to performance enhancement, one of the people that is selling a lot of these machines for me is a chiropractor, and he runs marathons. And every marathon, he's breaking his own record. He's now in the top 10% in the marathons that he runs because it's just enhancing. There's a young lad who inhales the gas because he's into sports and he does a lot of baseball. And he will not inhale the gas because he saw the performance boost when he was starting to inhale the Brown's gas. Now, hydrogen is good. The Brown's gas is better. Again, similar type of thing. And we look at longevity. Not only vitality, but longevity. In the scientific experiments, they're showing mice. You have these mice that live for just a year, so they can do longevity experiments with a relatively shorter time. And they're noticing a 30 to 50% increase in lifespan. And we're talking healthful lifespan. It isn't like the mice are on, Airport or something like that. They'd live out there
in a little mouse wheelchair, trying to remember their name, gnashing their gums. Yes, which is how I describe that I don't want to end my life. I'm like, take me out before I get to that point.
Just, yeah, when it gets to the point where you haven't got quality of life, you really haven't got life.
Take me out. Yeah, just, I'm out. Yeah. Okay, so
go to the next whatever.
Yeah, move on to the next phase, whatever that may be, gaseous or whatever, plasma, whatever. Yeah. So mice, 30 to 50% increase in lifespan, but we're going to refer to it as health span because that's what I really like to talk about is health span.
That's that, and that's really appropriate because they did a study in Japan. Now that they start, when they started to learn about the hydrogen, they did a study in Japan where they took families that were relatively short-lived and families that were long-lived. And in the Asian countries, particularly Japan, they are almost obsessed with longevity.
Yes.
So they, which I have no problem with at all. I intend to do 120 myself.
All right.
So we go back to the study that they did, and they found that the longer-lived families all had much more hydrogen in their exhaled breath than the shorter lived families. So that was a common denominator that supported this thing with a hydrogen increases longevity, healthful longevity.
So the long lived families that had increased hydrogen in breath, did they look into why, I mean, obviously their microbiome would have been optimized, but did they consider, because I've always believed that, you know, you kind of think, okay, well, from an evolutionary perspective, how would this have played out? And my personal theory, I don't know if there's anything out there that would talk about this, but that from an ancestral perspective, our microbiomes would have been so different from what they are today, that there's a real good chance that the bugs, the community of bugs we had living in our microbiome would have been much more efficient at producing hydrogen gas for us. Never mind, maybe the atmosphere was different because we didn't have all this carbon, all this fossil fuel stuff going around, whatever the case may be. So for these long-lived families, did they dig any deeper to figure out why they breathe out more hydrogen, or they just kind of went, oh, they breathe more hydrogen?
Not in that study.
Okay.
I believe that it tended to seem like genetics because they are so obsessed with longevity that long-lived families would tend to choose other long-lived mates, families, mates from long-lived families, if you're seeing what I'm saying.
Oh, you're kidding. Yes. So they kind of, the matchmakers, so like, don't give me the one from the family where they die, they kick the bucket at 60. I want the ones making it past 95.
That's right.
And we discovered
that the microbiome actually comes from the family members, particularly the mother at first, obviously. Even in the birth canal, when it's coming out, you get the microbiome starting to be put into the...
It inoculates.
Exactly. So if we were to somehow increase the efficiency of the microbiome of everybody generally, we would not have to supplement with hydrogen. Or if we did, it would give an additional benefit. But they would... the medical system, I have a problem with the medical system, which keeps people sick. They treat symptoms instead of curing.
And for sure.
We need to switch things around so that doctors get paid more for keeping people healthy than for keeping them sick. But that's just my own opinion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're so far from that. We're just going to have to work on one person at a time right now.
That's where we are.
And I do think, you know, it's funny, like we certainly in the alternative and biohacking world, we bash the medical system fairly consistently. But at the end of the day, it's this. I think it's a victim of itself. And it's from the ground up, it's built with a very specific goal in mind. It's also funded by an industry that has a bit of a vested interest of people being alive for a really long time, preferably taking a host of things that, you know, feed their interests. And again, I don't know, I don't know, maybe I'm naive. I'm not willing to assign full malice to it. I think it's a lot of, like, a broken system to begin with. And to reimagine that system right now would be so overwhelming that I don't think anybody...
There has to be a start somewhere.
I agree.
We know that the system isn't working the way that it is. And there have been systems that work the opposite way. Mm-hmm. And maybe we could start some sort of a place where that's the way it is. The doctors get paid more for healthy people. And
maybe we should give our doctors bonuses at the end of the year.
Yeah, this I'm sure there's got to be a way. There's some very smart people out there that could figure out some system like that, I'm sure.
I agree. I think it's okay. So tell me a little bit more about, let's talk a bit more about your health journey, because we stopped after you noticed that your immune system upregulated. So you saw resolution of warts, and you stopped getting your three flus a year, which sounds pretty brutal to me. And so most likely this whole immune system upregulation, this gas has got to be having a positive effect on your gut, on your microbiome. Notice anything digestively? Like, was your digestion awesome before? Did it get better? Did you notice anything in that world? Or what was the next thing you would have noticed?
Not necessarily for my digestion specifically, gut health, except that one of the things I had was extreme constipation, and that went away.
There you go.
I'm telling you.
That's the other part of digestion people don't like to talk about.
People who have had that know that that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And to be able to go regularly and smoothly and that is a very big blessing all by itself. So
yes. And you know what? You're in good company. I mean, in my business, when I first became a nutritionist, I was shocked at the number of I would say the greater percentage of people have issues with, you know, with clearing toxins from their body in any which way or form, but gut health is massive.
Right. So for the last 2 years, for example, I haven't worn glasses. If you go back and look at my pictures on my YouTube page, for example, and stuff like that, you'll see me with the glasses and a big gut. I lost 40 pounds.
Did you change your diet? Did you change anything else?
I did change my diet before all this started.
Okay.
And I didn't change anything but starting to inhale the gas for all the things I'm now talking about.
So 40 pounds.
I had tinnitus.
Eyes.
Yep. My hair is growing back. You can't exactly see as much as in this video because the Zoom cuts out, but I have hairs growing on my head that I didn't have. I was shiny bald before. And you can see, if you look in my video, even my mustache is growing back dark, where it was almost pure white before. When you see when I'm starting to inhale, I actually have a video on my YouTube page where I started to inhale the very first time. I always laugh a little bit because I set it all up with a camera facing me as I inhaled the first time, just in case something went wrong that I didn't expect.
And are you married? Do you have a wife? Does she have instructions?
At the time, I wasn't married, but I am now. In any case,
we could talk about that benefit too. Anyway, go on.
Actually, that was a benefit, a big benefit. And it made a huge difference in my life, because the reason I wasn't married when I started to inhale is that a couple of weeks before that, my late wife had died.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So I actually started to inhale.
Sorry about that.
I appreciate that very much. It almost killed me. And what happened when I started to inhale, because I guess at that point I didn't really care too much if I lived or died. Quite really? Frankly, there were times I was almost forgetting to breathe because I would feel its chest heart start break. To hurt, and it was bad. So in any case, I jumped back into my work, and one of the first things I wanted to do was test the inhalation because of the customer that had sent in December, and this was in March of 2016 by that time. And I did the inhalation thing, and within a short time, my psoriasis started to disappear. And I had severe psoriasis on my elbows, knees, and feet. And I didn't know that because I thought it was just calluses and skin buildup. Because when I grew up on the ranch, I had thick calluses and what have you from working so hard. Mm-hmm. So in any case, I did that, and that was happening, the psoriasis thing. And then my libido came back. Okay. It came back big time. And I'm not the only person reporting this. There's been quite a few others. I'm telling you, it's almost impossible to be grieving like I was and be very interested in the opposite sex, which I was, and I did. And I'm now remarried.
You're killing me. Okay. Well, congratulations. It's really hard to grieve. Basically what you're saying is, okay, I'm not going to say it. I don't think I'm allowed to say those things, but anyway.
So in any case, libido was a big thing that helped. And it helps with the women's libido as well. I've had people report back to me with that And
so that would imply that it's having an effect on the endocrine system as well, like on hormone balancing, that whole thing. So what about things like blood sugar? Like, have you heard, like, because I saw in the, I mean, the very long list of benefits that you have up, or yes, conditions that may, you know, we're not going to say we never use the C word, but benefits, like conditions that may be improved or benefited, yes, from this. You talk about metabolic syndrome, which is inherently the high blood pressure, the blood sugar dysregulation, that, and I think blood lipids, like it's a triad of symptoms. Are you seeing that in your clients, or did you see that yourself?
Yes. I just got a testimonial last week, actually, from a person who thanked me profusely for providing the technology, because he noticed that his blood sugars immediately stabilized and went, like he was a diabetic, and type 2 diabetic. And he had incredible easy time then maintaining his blood glucose when he was inhaling, whereas he was always fighting it before.
And so do the benefits last? So what I'm saying is, how long do you have to inhale on a daily basis in order to get benefits halo?
I usually say, based on the thousands of people that have been reporting to me and what have you, the maintenance is an hour a day for on the average. And then if you're doing therapeutic, like I inhale 4 to 6 hours a day, sometimes 8, because I'm sitting at my computer for far too long. but I just inhale when I'm sitting there. My wife inhales in her bed at night, because she's way too busy around the house and what have you during the day. Doesn't stop. So yes, it helps the blood glucose. There were some other things that I was thinking of. Blood pressure. Oh yes, big time. Many, many people have, they get right off their meds. And getting back to your point, if he's off his meds, this one particular fellow, an old friend of mine, he's in his late 80s, for more than 3 days, then his blood pressure starts to rise again. But as soon as he starts to inhale, the blood pressure goes down. So the hydrogen is really a food. You have to think of it as a food. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're using it supplementarily, but you actually have to think of it. That's where you get it, is from your food. You have to think of it as a food. So you have to eat every day. And this is what you do, is you inhale every day, because your guts just aren't giving you what you need.
Interesting. So you're saying it took you a year before you started. So how soon did you notice the first benefit when you started inhaling? What's the first thing you noticed, and how soon was that?
The very first thing I noticed was about a week and a half. And, mm-hmm, and okay, let's say the very first thing I noticed, and I call this the weirdness. It's when people's body is getting used to it, you're likely to get some weirdness. Now, I inhaled for 15 minutes the first time I did it, at about 6:30 in the evening. And I did not sleep that night at all. I was absolutely alert, totally conscious. And this was very disconcerting to me, because I'm used to being able to sleep anywhere, anytime, no problem. Just and I'm like that again now, and have been for some time. But when my body was first getting used to having enough hydrogen, the first thing that it did was keep me awake. And the second day, I just inhaled in the morning. Good. So that I got a normal night's sleep in the night.
Yeah.
My current wife, however, was just the opposite. She breathed for about 15 minutes at 6:30 at night, and she had the best night's sleep she could remember. Totally opposite. Totally.
But 6:30 at night's not quite a bedtime, right? So you could argue that at 6:30 at night, it gives your body time to kind of take it on, figure it out.
What I say is, every body is different.
Absolutely.
You really, there's almost no way to predict what's going to happen. But what I have discovered is that when you're inhaling and you're drinking the water, like I have water that I drink on it constantly during the day.
So wouldn't the water, okay, so we're going to talk about the water in a second, because we're still on the topic of what did you notice first. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, just quickly, when you ingest the gas, your body decides what it's going to do with it. Mm-hmm. When you apply it topically, the water or the gas topically, then you decide where it goes. So as far as the protocols go, there's 4 protocols currently. There's a 5th one, but that's later. So those 4 protocols where you can inhale the gas or put the gas topically, or drink the water, or put the water topically. Those are four different protocols that you can use. And so the body decides which it's going to go if you're ingesting, and you decide if it's on the outside. Okay, go ahead.
I'm writing it down. So drink topically, drink the water, topical water, and the same with the gas.
Yes.
So that's the four methods of application. Okay, so let's go back to, so within one, so the first thing you notice was you did 15 minutes before bed, and that was it for sleep. Next day, you smartened up because possibly your cognitive function improved. So you decided to inhale in the morning. So what was the next thing you noticed, like 1.5 weeks in?
Yeah, that was the psoriasis thing. My skin just started to peel off like a snake.
So that's like a week and a half, the psoriasis.
Right, where it just started to flake off. That was disconcerting as well, like dime-sized pieces of skin just flaking off.
Yeah, that would be somewhat disconcerting. Yeah.
But I kept inhaling. I didn't actually connect the two right to begin with.
And how long were you inhaling at that point?
About a week and a half.
But I mean 15 minutes still at a time, or were you had you built up your courage at this point?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. Yeah, I think I was doing still only about 15 or 20 minutes at a time at that time, something like that. I wasn't doing a lot. And then I started breathing in a relatively short time. Within a month, I started breathing at least an hour a day.
Okay.
And then there was a point where I just started inhaling at every minute
sitting down. Yeah.
So but underneath, when the skin peeled off, it wasn't painful or anything. There was baby smooth skin. It was absolutely beautiful skin underneath the stuff that was peeling off. So it was just getting rid of all that, whatever it thought it needed before and didn't need anymore, I guess.
Amazing. Yep. Wow. And then?
Then the neuropathies started to disappear, where what had happened with my left hand, for example, and that was due to, the doctor told me, a nerve in my elbow, believe it or not. But mm-hmm. my left hand was losing feeling, starting from the palm, and then gradually as it went further and further, I'd feel a burning sensation, and then I'd lose the feeling. And I'd feel a band of burning sensation, lose the feeling. I thought I was going to lose the feeling in my hand, mm-hmm. and, which, of course, as a person who builds things with his hands and stuff, I was
this is a problem. Yeah.
Very worrisome, yes. And before that, I had lost the feeling in both of my front shins. One mm-hmm. leg first, and the doctor said, oh, it's one leg, it's probably not your back or anything, and then we'll keep an eye on it. And then the other leg, I lost the feeling in the front of that leg. But I didn't go back to the doctor because it was, I could still use my legs and stuff, so I just kept going. But
you can put your hands without your legs, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the feeling started to come back a little, just the opposite of the way it went out, it started to come back until I had full feeling in my hand. And at that point, I realized, hey, I have feeling in my legs again too. I can feel the skin on my legs. That neuropathy went away. So then, that was about 4 or 5 months in. And at that point, I also was noticing a reduction in the tinnitus, but that's never completely gone away. When I'm under stress, I can still hear a hiss.
Okay. So,
and I learned from the ear, nose, and throat doctor that the tinnitus actually didn't have anything to do with my ears. It had to do with my brain,
sure.
Which then that comes back to the neuropathy.
Uh-huh.
Evidently, the largest conglomeration of nerves in your body is, you know, behind the skull. And mm-hmm. and the gas seems to help heal the nerves. And
do you think it restores is there a theory about that it might restore myelination of the nerves, or there's those little, you know, that you have your nervous system, it's like this tree with endless little branches. And as we age, there's a theory, or maybe it's a fact, that those little tiny nerve endings start to die, right? They die off. Why we kind of lose coordinated, smooth movement as we get, you know, elderly people don't pick up their feet. They can't recruit muscle fibers as efficiently as when they're younger. Is it possible that maybe...
I think that it has something to do with that. Obviously, there's more studies need to be done.
Yes.
But I know that my cognitive and balance and stuff improved because... And this actually I noticed 3 years in, okay?
Okay.
We skipped over some other stuff. But 3 years in, I regained my balance. When I'm taking a shower, I was usually leaning against the shower wall to wash my toes, lift up and wash my toes. Now I can just stand up like a stork and lift up my feet and wash my toes, it was very, very interesting. I suddenly realized that's what I was doing. I wasn't leaning against the wall anymore. I was I'd regained balance that I had lost sometime in the past. So,
so what did we skip between tinnitus, cognitive imbalance?
Somewhere in about 6 to 8 months, I realized that my scars were gone. Like I had a fairly large scar on my forehead where a socket had hit me when I was doing something stupid. And
which you don't do anymore because you're so much smarter. Yeah.
I don't do that anymore. I do other stupid things.
Yeah, well.
So in any case, I noticed that the scar was gone. I checked other scars on my body and they were gone too. I was astonished. And then I realized my warts were gone. Like usually the warts would grow and I'd clip them off and what have you. And I realized they were gone. I didn't have to worry about that anymore. And it wasn't too much after that that I realized that my glasses, I couldn't see as well. And I could see better with them off than with them on.
Okay, stop. You're blowing my mind a little bit. So all of these things, have you heard from your customers that they have similar effects? Like, yes. Are you, like, we look, and listen, as a biohacker, I'm all about the N of one. Love, yeah. N of one. And first of all, it's my first initial N of one experiment. If it works for me, that's super awesome. Hope it works for you. Good luck to you. But now, in terms of the testimonials and the people that you've helped, are they getting some of or all of these same benefits?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yep. Virtually across the board. Now, like we say again, every body is different.
Of course.
And each body does what it thinks needs to be done. Each body has its own intuitive intelligence.
Yeah.
And once it starts getting the hydrogen, it starts to heal the things that it thinks it needs to heal. Mm-hmm. But if you have arthritis, that was another thing. My arthritis is gone. I have full feeling, no pain, full functionality of my hands again.
And did you notice that your joints, do they look different? I mean, I have a cyst on this finger. I think you can see it, but, yeah. Cause with arthritis quite often you get a little bit of the joints start to look inflamed and malformed. Did you notice?
Yeah, as the body tries to deal with the inflammation, it starts to malform the joints. I luckily hadn't reached that point. I was just in a painful stage. So, but there are people who have good strength and functionality in their hands again, who had full arthritis and it's virtually every kind of arthritis. It's not just one.
So osteo and
it has to do
rheumatic.
With the,
yeah.
Exactly. Rheumatic, all those.
Or rheumatoid. Yeah.
Yep. Rheumatoid. Yes. So because it gets rid of the inflammation and wounds heal so much faster. There was a time when I got a sprained shoulder. I was pounding in a steel fence post, and it was relatively recent, just in the last few years. I'm over 60, you know, but I still act like a farmer.
Well, you can't. You can take the boy out of the ranch, but you can't take the ranch out of the guy. I don't know, something like that.
That's almost exactly right. So in any case, I sprained my shoulder, and I knew from historical sprains that would take about 3 weeks to heal. 3 days. 3 days, I had no pain, full strength. 3 days.
And did you inhale more? Did you intentionally spend, although you spend so many hours on this thing anyway, that it would be hard to say that. And yeah. Why wouldn't you while you're sitting and hanging out?
I didn't expect the sprain to heal. I didn't do anything extra or different. It just healed. Okay. I thought it was going to take 3 weeks and I was all prepared for it to take 3 weeks. And when it took 3 days, I was just astonished.
Wow. So tell me about your diet. Did you, like, what was it before? When did you change it and why? And what is it today? I'm just curious because that's kind of the world I'm in. So I'm curious about that.
That's a good question. I learned back in the late 1990s that I had to cut out sugar. And virtually all simple carbohydrates, just cut it out entirely. And so I actually went with a fairly high protein diet at that time, mm-hmm. which then I found out later wasn't necessarily as good as, but I pretty much just eat nuts and fruits, occasionally some pasta, or a piece of pizza or something. I try to keep a really low simple carb diet. And a low amount of meat. And I've discovered, especially when I started inhaling the gas, I didn't need as much food. this was my major nutrient right here. And the beauty of it is it's calorie free.
So you didn't need as much food. So does that mean, are you meaning to say that your appetite wasn't as, you didn't have as much appetite, or you know what I mean? Like, appetite feel more also satiated?
Appetite is also a learned thing. Like, people are used to eating at certain times of the day. So you're going to get hungry. Even if you don't eat, if you don't need to eat, you're still going to get hungry until you retrain your body. I eat once a day. I've only eaten once a day for the last 3 years. Because if I eat more than that, I do start tucking on the pounds again. And I have to keep my calories really low. But I work from 5 in the morning till 8:30 at night. I have like 12, 16-hour days working. I have no loss of energy or anything like that.
So that's interesting. So you're on OMAD. That's what we call it in the biohacking world.
Okay.
One meal a day. So for the past 3 years, you work from 5 to 8:30. And so basically you just eat whole foods. You don't really particularly watch one thing or another.
I do try to keep the organic thing going.
Yeah, for sure. Of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't you? And then you must be a ketogenic, you must be at least in ketosis some of the time if you're only eating one meal a day. Do you even pay attention to that, or?
I don't, but I am, I'm sure. Yeah. I called it the warrior's diet when they were looking at various fasting forms.
Yeah, no, well, and I'm sure, you know, again, if we go back to our ancestors way, way back, the luxury of eating whenever didn't exist, right? So periods of fasting would be just kind of, you know, it's part of human adaptation, right?
Like, exactly.
Fact that we stand like at the buffet 24 hours a day these days might have something to do with the
metabolic. Eating once a day is relatively normal for our bodies. Yeah, we know how to do that. Our bodies know how to handle that. No problem.
Absolutely. So once we get back into some kind of balance. Now, what about your wife? Tell me about her. Does she, like, is she at a healthy weight? Is her diet any different? What's her?
She does yoga.
You know, she has good libido, which is good.
Yes, it is very good. She's more weight than she wants. She does yoga and eats and what have you, but not as good as she'd like to. Okay. She's just kind of enjoying life these days.
But she feels good. Like, I think part of what I'm trying to get at is that, you know, sometimes we talk about these things and people want to find the thing that's going to be the one thing that's going to make everything perfect in their life.
Yeah, there is no one thing.
And there is no one thing. So what I'm driving at here a little bit is that what it appears is that it looks like this, adding this component into your world is going to give you increased capacity, better immune system, better energy. You know, it's going to even out a whole lot of stuff if you choose to build on that and take it to the next level by dialing in your diet, your exercise, your sleep, the whole nine yards. You will see even better improvements. It's not going to do it all, but it sure sounds like it could be a real game changer and up-leveler of your foundation so that all of the other things that you do are going to ultimately have possibly better effect. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Is there anything else you think we should know? What else?
Well, the first thing that people should know, yes, and like you say, keeping to an hour is virtually impossible when you start talking about this.
Yeah, but we're not doing too badly. I mean, we're just hitting the hour now. So
we just got an introduction going on.
I know. So we could do a part two. Don't worry about it.
and that's good. We just wanted to mention the code if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not there yet. I mean, if anybody needs to run out and buy it right at this minute, you can use the code BIOHACK10 and get 10% off your machine. But we're going to talk about that in a minute. I'm not fully finished with you yet. I'm just moving.
No, that was a vitality to get 10% off.
Oh, vitality. Right. Vitality.
Yes, vitality.
10, sorry.
Yes.
Not BIOHACK 10. No. Vitality 10. Because you will be vital.
Just vitality straight.
Okay. Vitality, but you get 10. So the word vitality gets you 10% off. Got it.
Yes, that's exactly right. Okay.
Apparently,
right.
I need a little more hydrogen in my life. I know what I wanted to ask. So there was the study in Spain. There's the Koreans are using Brown's gas now for health purposes. Japan also. Is there clinical research going on with Brown's gas specifically for health now? It's a little like hydrogen gas now. Huge number of studies. It's really over exploded.
1,500 as far as I know. Yeah. And that's been pretty much since 2007 that started.
Exactly.
Now, a certain percentage of those studies actually were Brown's gas, but the researchers didn't know it. Okay.
Oh, you're kidding.
It depends on the machine that they were using.
So if they were using that electrolysis thing with the anode and the cathode and the oxygen and the hydrogen, unknowingly
no membrane in the middle. See,
right.
That's the thing.
No
that's
membrane.
That's why the PEM and SPE technologies, for example, have a solid electrolyte membrane in the middle between the anode and cathode. So they can't make Brown's gas. They just make the pure hydrogen that goes off one way, the pure oxygen that goes off the other way. And that's fine, right? Because it does its job and what have you. But it can't make the electrically expanded water, that plasma form of water, negatively charged plasma form of water. So some of the researchers were doing that. And I have a person going through, we found 24 studies so far, including one that mentions the C word. This particular woman had lung C that had metastasized into brain C. Okay, so and
oh, there's
she decided,
two C words at play here. There's a CU word and a CA word. So,
so what she decided to do was do Brown's gas only, no other treatment whatsoever. No,
well, because
chemo,
they'd given
no
her, they'd probably told her she was
probably
as much they could do for her, right?
So she inhaled for about 8 hours a day. Okay. And I forget, it was a relatively short time, half a year or something. Zero C, gone.
Wow.
Total remission.
From calcium to copper, just like that. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So do you have, I'm just wondering, do you have any links to some of these 24 studies that I could?
Yes. I have a website, and in fact, if we, I could do a screen share, not to say, we could, it's called eagle-research.life.
Okay, because I looked at eagle-research and
.com.
Yeah, and that gave me a whole lot of stuff about things I didn't care about.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what I did, this here, and here is the eagle-research.life. That's what it looks like there.
Beautiful.
If we go over here to the testimonials, we can look down to the scientific studies.
Amazing.
And we start looking into all the case reports, including a couple like this 82 advanced C patients survey, real world survey, all this kind of thing. So these are the scientific
glioblastomas.
Studies.
Wow.
So these are the people these are the studies where they were using Brown's gas and they didn't even know it.
Huh.
And then, of course, I have only a few of my written testimonials up here. I have a box. I have them all over the place, and I have to gather them together. But I needed a place to put them, and now we have the place to put them. And so all these people just there's a lot. You can go and inspire yourself. Whoops, over here.
I'm pretty inspired right at this minute. I got to tell you.
And people can contact me directly from this page.
You saying things like that explains why you work from 5 a.m. until 8:30 at night.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe you called me back so quickly.
Well, I love what you're doing there. I really wanted to join the fun.
Thank you.
So there's myself and Nikola Tesla. You can see I'm an old farm boy.
Nice, Nikola. Well, Nikola Tesla is an interesting guy.
Yeah, I live near Niagara Falls, so it's and as an inventor of alternative energy, it's a real inspiration to me.
And Niagara Falls gives off a certain energy of its own, right? You're not that far from me, so
it certainly does. Yes, yeah, I think you're in Toronto or something. If I remember right?
So, I am. So, how long ago was this picture taken? Is this recent?
This particular one, I think it was it a year? It couldn't have been more than 2 years ago.
No, you look great. That's for sure. Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. Can more than one person use the machine at once?
Yes, it is possible.
Or do you have to fight over it with your spouse?
No, if you're relatively close together.
Yes.
You can. We sell a tea that people can buy. It's just a little plastic tea. It's no big deal, and you can put
you
a cannula.
You mean like a mechanical tea? Yeah. Okay.
Just a tea, gas tea. So you can, two people can inhale at the same time.
Perfect.
And what you do is you set the machine for the inhalation of the lesser person. Like this machine is made so it can be optimized. You can get the optimal gas production for any particular person. And that's really important as far as this is concerned, because you want to be able to not inhale more than the 4%, right?
Okay, wait,
so
no,
if you
lost
and
me.
A little woman.
Oh, I see. So then I'm going to stop the share for a second.
Yes,
so depending, so it's size dependent. So I would have a different setting on the machine than my husband would, for example.
Right, right.
Just because we're exactly. Stereotypical couple, I'm little, he's big. Not always the case, yep. But in this case, it's the case.
Yes.
So you would set
yes.
The machine to my setting. He would not get as much as he might otherwise take, but it'll still be of benefit to both of us.
Right. Because generally speaking, when one person is exhaling, the other person may be inhaling. And so the person that's inhaling is going to get the full mixture. And you don't right. Want the small person to be getting the mixture of the big person.
Right.
Now there's times when both people are inhaling at the same time and maybe it splits, whatever the case may be. But
all right.
So that's why you have to do it when you're sharing. But the tea also helps, like if you want to do an arthritic hand mm-hmm. at the same time as inhaling, you can do that. You can put some gas in with the hand and inhale the rest kind of thing. You can do stuff like that as well.
Okay. So do you sell attachments? Like you have a bag or do you just use a baggie? But then the baggie would
with
leak.
With a hand, I do have a glove, which is a dual purpose thing.
Okay.
But just a bread bag, you know, no reason to get, yeah.
But hydrogen is, we're not going to go too much longer, but I do have one last question. So hydrogen's an itty bitty little molecule. It can get through pretty much anything, even glass, right? So, although I guess if you're pumping it in your hands there, even though some of it's going to get out, some of it's going to come, like it's going to come in through the skin, which we know our skin's our biggest organ of absorption anyway. So it's all good. For the water bottle, what I wanted to ask you before that kind of slipped my mind was, how long will it stay in the bottle? Like, because it's in this different state, is it more stable in the water? Because I know with molecular hydrogen tablets, you get your tablets to dissolve in the water. You got to chuck that water pretty quickly. Otherwise, the hydrogen's just going to vaporize and be gone. And
to get the maximum benefit, yes. And that's why they say it. But once the hydrogen is infused in the water, it takes 24 hours for it to be half gone.
As
and that'll be the
gas,
same.
No,
even as a hydrogen, hydrogen, if it's in a sealed bottle, okay,
yeah.
got a seal on it of some sort, and at room temperature. The cooler you keep it, like if you keep it in the fridge, the longer it'll last. It lasts longer in cool conditions. And you can put more hydrogen in cool water. If you go to heat the water, like to make tea or something, it drives all the gases out, including the hydrogen.
Yeah.
So
That would be great.
So what's happening with the tablets, if you put it in the water and allow it to pressurize, it'll actually squeeze more hydrogen into the water than otherwise would be available.
I've done this on planes when I put my molecular hydrogen tablets in the water and I'll put something on top of the glass and then I'll lift it and kind of inhale and people are kind of looking at me like, oh my God, this woman is insane. But I'm like, it's all the hydrogen's here. It works for me. Actually, you could do that when you travel it's not as good as the Brown's gas, but you could probably use the hydrogen tablets as a...
Yes, and I should. And I actually do have hydrogen tablets around. Let's see, where I put them over there. That I bought. And I like... you have to be careful on the hydrogen tablets. I'm sure you've done your research to get ones that have them... I think it's the malic acid and what have you that mitigate the problem with the oxides and because you don't want to have the metal oxides.
No,
drinking.
Metal. Yep. Yeah, most people are trying to get rid of those. Okay, well, I think we've covered a lot. I think we're a little bit over an hour, so we're going to have to stop as much as we'd love to keep going. George, this has been fascinating. Thank you so much. So once again, people, so George, you split your time between Canada and the U.S., right? So you're manufacturing.
Usually, right now the border is.
Yeah, it's a little tricky. That's okay. We'd like to have you on this side. This is a good place for you. But this is where you manufacture the machines. Do you ship worldwide or is it just Canada and the U.S. for now?
You do. Worldwide.
Okay. Yep. That's great to know because I can think of about a few people in Europe who I know who might be able to maybe use your machine. And so to get 10% off, the promo code is Vitality. not to be confused with any of the other words I said earlier. Is there anything else you think we should know, George, or are we going to leave it for part two at another day?
We're going to have to leave it because there are so many things to know. But it's a vital nutrient. In synopsis, it's a vital nutrient. You can inhale it, get what you need. You're going to get a higher performance. Your body's going to heal itself because it's finally going to be getting what it actually needs to do that. And then we can go from there.
Okay. Oh, okay. Last thing. Pre-workout or post-workout? Pre-workout.
It actually doesn't matter.
Either.
I like to do pre.
Yeah.
But that comes back to oxygen therapies as well.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people do the various oxygen therapies. I like to do if you're going to do oxygen therapy like MMS or something like that, then later you'd wait an hour or two and then do the hydrogen. Because if you do them together, they'll cancel each other out. The oxygen and hydrogen will just form water and not really do anything.
Okay.
Whereas if you do it apart, the oxygen will do whatever its stress immune system or do whatever it's chelate or whatever you're trying to do with the oxygen therapy. And then later, or kill things, like some of the immune system uses the oxygen to kill pathogens. And then later you have the hydrogen, which does the opposite. It heals things. So it gets rid of the inflammation. It gets rid of the oxidative stress and free radicals and all that kind of stuff, and allows the body to, it helps the body heal. So if you're doing the oxygen, then you do the hydrogen. It's how I like to do it.
But for this machine, you're doing both at the same time. So you're saying pre-workout is better.
No, the oxygen that comes with this, like I say, is kind of neutral. It doesn't have any, it's not like O3 or any of the MMS. It doesn't add electrons or anything. It just,
Like you're talking about like a separate oxygen therapy. So somebody has an oxygen, the people who have all the toys would scale it like that. But someone who just has this machine, you're basically saying like an hour or so after your workout might be a really good time to use it.
I do it while I'm working out. Well, so there's quite a few people out there on their rebounders with their cannulas on, just working out as you go. Yeah. You can't do it when you're marathoning down the road.
No.
But on my bicycle that's in the living room, I can do the oxygen. It's amazing how much it increases your performance to be able to do that at the same time.
Yeah. All right.
It seems to get rid of the lactic acid that's built up from the muscle use and stuff so much easier. So you don't have that muscle soreness and what have you that you otherwise get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. We went down yet another rabbit hole when we were saying goodbye. So we are finally going to say goodbye. George, thank you so much. Don't hang up. I'd love to talk to you quickly, but we're going to end this podcast now. We'll definitely do another one at some point, but thank you so much for your time and generosity and for, you know, being brave enough to put the gas on for that first 15 minutes all that time ago and starting this journey.
Well, my customers convinced me. What can I say? I guess I'm more hard-headed than I think.
Yeah.
As an inventor, you're supposed to, like I say, keep an open mind, but it took 10 years for them to convince me to drink the water and then essentially another 10 before I started inhaling. 20 years! I could have been having this.
It's all good. No regrets. So people can find you one last time at eagle-research.life. That's your website.
One, yes.
So that's where people can buy a machine, read up about it. There's clinical studies there, testimonials, and where you can contact George, who has no end of energy. So he can get back to you pretty quickly.
Time is my problem.
Yeah. Okay. You can work on a time machine next. Thank you so much, George.
Thank you, Neff.
Thanks so much for joining me on this episode of the Biohacking Superhuman Performance Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please remember to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes because that's what helps us to be heard and to be seen. If you'd like to connect with me directly, or if you'd like to leave any comments, or if you have any questions about this episode, please reach out to me directly through my website, natnidham.com. And of course, if you're not already a member of the Biohacking Superhuman Performance community on Facebook, that's where you'll find me every day. It's a short application. Just answer a couple of questions and you're in and interfacing with other amazing biohackers. Thanks again, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode.